This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to remind you guys that happening right now with the Bonscore Wellness Arena is the annual LEO Santa Toy Drive. It is taking place, again, at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. Friend of the show, Rob Anario, is down there, as are, and will be throughout the day, various members of the law enforcement and first responders community. And they'll be doing cool stuff. They'll be doing demonstrations and displays at the well all day long. So if you want to go check that out, we highly, highly encourage it. It is taking place at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. They will be out there overnight through the night all the way until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. It is a consortium of first responders consisting of law enforcement officers, firemen, and emergency response members. They are volunteering their off-duty time to both collect new and unopened toys and cash donations that they will then volunteer their off-duty time to distribute to underprivileged children around our community. The toy collection efforts underway again at the Bonscore Wellness Arena started at 6 a.m. They will be out there until 10 a.m. tomorrow. So at some point today, do us a favor. Go pick up a new and unwrapped toy or stuff some money in an envelope a la a bag man and bring it down to the Bonscore Wellness Arena so that we can help underprivileged kids have a wonderful Christmas here in the upstate.
You know, as Rob Anario pointed out yesterday when he was on the show, take a new football or a new basketball or a new soccer ball,
yeah,
something sports related down there because, you know, kids love sports for Christmas too. They do.
Help out our law enforcement and first responders community. Help out underprivileged kids around the upstate. All right. Let's take it on over to Columbia, South Carolina, and welcome in we got new horns on the show. Welcome in a young lady who covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. on the dot to talk Gamecock Athletics. She is the lovely Lulu Kesson joining us on the show. Good morning, young lady. How do you do?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for being so pleasant and chipper this morning, Lulu.
Well, it's my mom's birthday, and even though I'm not with her, I got to send positive energy while I can, and I know she's listening. So,
happy birthday, Lulu's mom!
Happy birthday.
There you go.
Perfect. We love you. Thank you for raising an awesome kid who's so willing to come on and talk sports with us. She's the best. Good job, Mom.
Aww.
That's good work.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet. Love all around.
Appreciate Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Lulu Kesson, I got a chance to watch a little bit of Shane's press conference yesterday, and he struck me as a dude who's like right in that perfect mix of angry and disappointed. Speaking of like a parent, he was talking to the committee like a mad parent at a kid, right? Like he was on one hand kind of like promoting South Carolina. He was also like, well, I mean, if they're going to do it that way, then I'm just not going to do it. It was a very interesting press conference. Are there any that you've been able to pick up behind the scenes vibes, whether it's from the players, whether it's from the team, the coaches, the administrators, the boosters, whatever? What's kind of the atmosphere over there in Columbia after South Carolina did not just get left out of a potential, not guaranteed, but potential playoff spot, but also got bumped behind Alabama and Ole Miss?
Yeah, well, Kyle Kinnaird posted on his Instagram story just like thumbs down emojis. But besides that, we haven't talked to the players since the announcement happened. I don't know necessarily when we will, just because there's a lack of media this week, just given the fact that technically like the season's on a pause, I guess. And I think your assessment of Shane's emotions are valid. I think he was very disappointed in a lot of the, I guess, reasons for why things happened, but also at the same time trying to elevate his team and talk about, the win over Clemson, what a bowl game could mean. Like, that's sort of what I was trying to get at with my question, is how is he balancing, you know, the frustration of my team just kind of got left out of the top of the top, the 12-team playoff, but also my team could potentially win 10 games this year, which is something a South Carolina football team has only done, I think, like three other times. So I wasn't necessarily telling him, oh, be happy with what could happen. I was just more so getting at, there's been a wave of kind of this push and pull the last like 72 hours, where you're pulled in one direction, being so happy about the Clemson win, and then it's just like, okay, then the college football playoffs, you feel as though they left you out unfairly. Like, there's just so much going on emotionally, and I think, one, he's probably exhausted, but two, also trying to be kind of that guiding voice for his players and being like, okay, let's all handle this maturely and responsibly, but obviously he wasn't going to hold back in terms of telling us how he felt about the committee-specific decisions, that being, you know, Alabama making it in basically over South Carolina.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. It is interesting, obviously, Lulu, that you mentioned it. They were a grand total between the LSU and the Bama loss, a grand total of 5 points away from being a 10-2 team, really 5 points away from being an 11-1 football squad. But that head-to-head matchup with Ole Miss, where they got ramrodded, that head-to-head matchup with Alabama, where they that pass is 2 yards lower, they got a shot to win that football game. I've come at it this way. If I'm Shane Beamer, and I think based on the recruiting class that they signed yesterday, and we'll ask you about that here in just a minute, the interesting thing for Shane Beamer over the next year is going to be the fine line of disappointment of being 5 points away from being 11-1, 3 points away from being 10-2. The disappointment of being in that spot and being left out, especially if you, like me, believe at least a part of that comes because the committee has always tried to make sure they find a way to get Alabama in, but also generating excitement, generating electricity, pointing out to people that, look, we were a bad snap or two away from being a playoff team, and you've got all of this other stuff that we're building. Is that kind of the message that Shane Beamer is going to be hinging on during further recruiting, in your opinion?
I believe so. And I also think that just a Clemson win, obviously the Clemson game's always going to be the last of the season, but I think that happening, obviously, in going in South Carolina's favor this year is huge. I mean, it's hard because the more, I guess, Shane vocalizes how incredible his team was the last six games, at least, I'm sure the more frustrated he gets that he's like listing all their accomplishments and then being reminded. But I do think it's just still fresh, like, not to talk about this like a breakup or something, but I think he just needs a little time to step away. And I think the biggest step in terms of going forward in elevating the future of this program with recruiting and things like that, the transfer portal, is, you know, winning a bowl game in a dominant fashion. You know, Shane, one of his main arguments is like, how do you make a bowl game without beating a ranked opponent? Kind of arguing with some of these non-SEC teams, it's like, okay, if they're against a Big 12 team, like, you got to put your money where your mouth is and you got to win. So I think it's just a weird time right now where the news is still fresh and hurtful. But at the same time, Shane's always been one to kind of put everything away and just play. He's very competitive. And I think that in the next few days or so, or at least when the bowl project or the bowl games come out, like it's gonna kind of be put on the back burner because he's gonna want to focus on just winning a bowl game. And I think that's the best way to attract recruiters right now is how they respond when maybe things don't go their way.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the game that took place last weekend. Lulu Kessin, obviously the boys go on the road to Clemson, South Carolina, and get a big-time dub over the then number 12-ranked Clemson Tigers. We start, as we always do, 30,000-foot view. What do you think South Carolina, aside from just having ice water in the veins in the fourth quarter, and aside from Lenora Sellers just running like a dump truck whenever things got heated behind the offensive line, what were the things that jumped out at you, or was that pretty much the game in your opinion?
It wasn't that was pretty much the game, but I would maybe argue that South Carolina kind of didn't play all that well up until that moment, I guess. I mean, not that they didn't play well, it's just I thought Clemson, I guess, played better. I think Clemson looked more confident on offense. I think South Carolina took a little while to get going, especially on offense. I think there were some bad missed tackles. I think Judge Collier was having a little bit of a tricky time with the one-on-one matchups, and not that he was any, you know, one person that caused anything, but I think just there was some individual kind of uncharacteristic slow moments, and I just think Clemson kind of got the better half of South Carolina for, I would say, at least three quarters. So that was kind of at first my big takeaway if the game didn't go in South Carolina's direction. However, Clemson doesn't have Lenora Sellers, and Lenora Sellers simply was the difference maker in that game, 1,000%.
Talk to me about Lenora Sellers, because I think at this point we can all say not only is the hype train on the tracks, Lulu Kessin, but it is chugging along at full speed into next year. A couple of weeks ago, Shane made a comment that a player told him that he was departing the program via the transfer portal because he did not believe the Gamecocks were going to have a quarterback this year, a, let's say, thinly veiled shot at one Antoine Juice Wells down at Ole Miss this year. Shane said, look, we're set at quarterback. He's an absolute dog, and Lenoris was absolutely a dog against Clemson. What is the hype around this kid as he gets set for season number two as QB1 next year, pending, obviously, the results of this year's postseason?
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, I'm loving it because it makes the feature I wrote on him in August look really good. Because at first, I was kind of freaking out after the Old Dominion game because I was like, wow, I just wrote a 1,000-word piece about how his family and his hometown and how, you know, nothing fazes him and he's just always been good from a young age, but he's kind of like gifted athletically. And after the Old Dominion game, I was like, wow, I might have just jinxed him and maybe the college level is just a bit too much, but I was very wrong. I think the hype around Lenora Sellers here is that he's South Carolina's quarterback. Like, especially yesterday, there's since Clemson and maybe even before, like, obviously a lot of people are worried in this kind of day and age with the transfer portal. But Lenora's younger brother just committed to South Carolina. Like, I don't see him going anywhere. His parents are the nicest people in the world. They love South Carolina. Like, I think Lenora's, if anything is clear, he's so appreciative. Just, he appreciates the moment so much. He's so grateful for right now, and he just wants to play football. Like, he doesn't strike anyone, or at least me right now, as the type of kid that's going to be the first one to walk in and hype himself up. Like, he's just there to play football with his friends, and he's doing some magical kind of Houdini things on the field, obviously. But I think all the hype around him is just excitement that he's so young and still has so much left to give for a lot of South Carolina fans. That's really exciting.
One of the things I find interesting, I've said for a number, for the last couple of years, Lulu Kessin, that I think you can boil recruiting down to three things, which is cash, coach, and culture, the three C's of recruiting, right? You got to, at this point with NIL, you got to be able to put some cash on the table to make these kids a little bit more enticed. You've got to have a coach that these guys want to play for, and that coach has got to establish a culture that makes kids want to stay there, because you're not just recruiting kids once anymore. You're re-recruiting your entire roster every single offseason to get them not to go into the portal and stay. But if there is another factor that can be added to cash, coaching culture, it's quality of opponents. Guys gravitate towards the opportunity to play with other dogs. It even happens all the way at the NFL level, where you see regularly players taking breaks in hometown discounts to stay with a particular quarterback or running back or play behind a certain offensive lineup, whatever the case is going to be. Lenore Sellers is one of the biggest recruiting factors that South Carolina has, along with the Garnet Trust being one of the top NIL collectives in America, and along with Shane Beamer. The one thing we've given him credit for without break since he got there is being an excellent culture builder on campus. It seems like all of those qualities are steaming along. Do you felt like we saw results? Do you feel like we saw that show up in the early signing class? And will we continue to do so as we move towards National Signing Day in February?
I believe so. It's also tricky because I think Shane, particularly not with the, you know, high school recruits, but with the transfer portal, had such good success, especially with players like Kyle Kennard, Demetrius Knight. Like, those were names I imagine people a year ago were sort of freaking out over. Like, Shane knew how to recruit really good players and really good people out of the portal. I mean, especially with Demetrius Knight. So I kind of am now curious, like, with these conversations that sometimes with high school recruits can be, you know, 2 years. Like, a transfer portal, you can talk to a guy for maybe a day and then have to make a decision. Like, high school recruiting, it's a longer process, so you're kind of able to attack it from many different ways. I got the vibe, based on who, you know, Shane was elevating yesterday, who he was talking about, that this, at least the 25 new people that signed, you know, three flipped commits, like, There's some really good quality players, but also good quality people coming in. And I think Shane, and what I'm hoping to sort of dig into and write about, like, I think Shane wears his emotions on his sleeve, and players have a really clear picture of what they're getting out of their coach. And I think that's critical. I think a lot of people in every level just kind of just don't understand that as a coach, you have to give a little to get. And I think Shane gives a lot, and that's why a lot of people understand the program they're getting into, and why maybe people aren't getting here and saying, oh, I had no idea South Carolina was going to be like this, boop, going in the portal. I think Shane's very clear from day one about his expectations and his energy and his vibe. And from my understanding, a lot of the high school recruits that just signed are really excited knowing what they're going to get at South Carolina.
Lou Kessin covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is kind enough to join us every single Thursday morning at 8 a.m. I suspect, barring a Powerball lottery chance of chaos, South Carolina will not be a playoff team when we speak next Thursday to Lou Kessin. However, we'll likely have a better idea of the bowl that they will play in, likely a very prestigious one, and Lamont Paris, Dawn Staley, the guys and gals playing hardwood basketball for the Gamecocks are getting their regular seasons going as well. We'll be starting to fade into that. Lulu Kessin, you are a wonderful person. Thank you for your time, as always.
Of course, it's a good way. I have an early radio call today and then a 9 p.m. basketball tip for women's basketball tonight. So it's going to be a fun, busy day, but I'm glad I get to start it off this way.
Lulu, call your mom. Tell her we said happy birthday.
I will. I promise.
Done and done. You're the best. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. Again, every Thursday at 8 a.m., she talks Gamecock athletics with us. We are very appreciative of her time. When we come back, there's a bad guy. There's a bad guy in sports. There's a bad guy who has gone ahead and said, you want a bad guy? I'll be the bad guy. And we're going to talk about that bad guy.
Can we say hello to them?
See? I got to go find that clip, too. I got to go find all the clips. All right.
Can we send someone to a rock concert, Rob?
I bet we can, Lonzo. How would you like to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra next Friday, 4 p.m.? We have tickets for you. And if you want to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra next Friday at 4 p.m., you need to be right now, this second, 2-844-326-3663. Caller number two. Caller number two. The number of legendary New Orleans Saints quarterback Aaron Brooks. Number two, you need to be caller number two right now to 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. Caller number two, winning a pair of tickets to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra next Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. It is also your chance to listen to more of the Rob Brown Show right after this break on the Fan Upstate. You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain. That's what Harvey Dent once said in the Christopher Nolan Batman universe. Aziz Alshayer has become the most recent player to decide, yeah, I'll just become the villain. He was suspended, of course, three games for his hit on Trevor Lawrence that has effectively ended the season for Trevor Lawrence. The Jags are 2-10, and I've done the research, not good. They're not good. They're not bad. They're bad. They're bad at the football. But TL16 was, you know, trying to, along with the Jags, figure it out to get a little bit better, and now he is done. He is also going to likely have surgery on a shoulder injury that he has sustained a few weeks ago when the Jags took on the Eagles. Needed the surgery on his non-throwing shoulder, but said, I'm going to play through it until I can't play through it no more. After Wednesday night's social media post by Aziz Alshayer, it is pretty obvious that what I said yesterday, that is, yeah, that's genuinely one of the most insincere apologies I think I've ever seen before in my life. I said I thought Aziz Alshayer was taking the low road out. He went with the, I'm sorry for what happened to you. Not the, I'm sorry, I did what I did. Now, you did have some defenders. You had Mark Schlereth, big stink yesterday, say, oh, what is he supposed to do? Pretty much everything opposite of what he did. But Aziz Alshayer included in his social media post a picture of him alongside Joaquin Phoenix's DC version of the Joker and a photo of a caption that read, quote, there is beauty in being rejected, misunderstood, unseen, and unprotected by people.
Wait, way to pick the worst movie of the year to put yourself up against and one of the worst Jokers.
Yeah, but also the first Joker movie was pretty good.
The last 10 minutes were good.
I liked it a lot, but then they decided to absolutely ruin it. Anyway, he also put on a tweet, quote, if you want me to be your villain, I'll be your villain. See you soon. He completed his message with a middle finger emoji and a Joker playing card. The feed has not been taken with much sympathy. Of course, he also said a couple of days ago that fans against him are, quote, racist and Islamophobic, end quote, and accused reporters of calling him every name in the book. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to start the next phrase of my take here by saying I am not Islamophobic, and I decry Islamophobia, as I decry every form of phobia out there. Live and let people live. Other people who do horrendous things in the name of the thing that they like does not mean that they are that person or condone those activities. But my man, Aziz, my guy, my dude, my brother. No, bud. No, just no.
All right. No. So I don't understand what the big deal is about this. I'm talking about how he's reacting. He has been labeled a bad guy, which I believe he is a bad guy. So he's just embracing the bad guy image. I mean, he's taken something that's been given to him, deservedly so, and he's using it. He can be apologetic forever. You know what? No one believes his apology. So why not go the other way and just be the bad guy everyone thinks you are?
There is a difference. Because you know me, I tell people all the time, embrace the heel role.
I mean, Dennis Rodman didn't care. And if you're going to be that guy, then be that guy. And that sounds like that's what he's going to be.
There is, in my opinion, a vast difference between embracing the villain role under the cliche, you hate me because you ain't me, like a Ric Flair. Ric Flair was a bad guy. Why? Because he leaned into, I wear expensive suits, I ride in limousines and private jets, I wear Rolexes, and I'll kiss your wife and she'll like it, right? That's, you hate me because I'm the champ and you're not. Versus, you hate me because I just punched your dog in the face. That's a different kind of bad guy. There's bad guy Joker that burns a big stack of billions of dollars to make a point versus Joker who just murders civilians indiscriminately.
All right. Who's the bad guy in the NFL right now?
Azeez Al-Shaair.
Other than him, who's a bad guy in the NFL?
I don't know. You tell me. Who are you? Do you have somebody in mind?
No, I don't. That's the point.
But do you understand? Okay.
What he did was horrible.
Right.
And he's going to be labeled as something no matter what. So he might as well embrace it. That's what he's doing. And he's probably going to steal some of the thunder for some people because he's going to walk in the stadium. He's going to be booed. What's a heel love? A heel loves the boos.
Yeah, but again, there is a difference between I am a bad guy because I come into your crib and I talk a bunch of smack. I tell you how much your city sucks. I tell you how much your sports team sucks. I tell you how none of your women have all their front teeth. I tell you how all the guys in the audience are fat and out of shape losers. There's a difference between that kind of heat and the kind of heat that you get because you actually hurt people and it appears to be intentionally. I will support Jim Harbaugh taking the bad guy role because everybody hates him because he's a big dork and he cheats at Michigan allegedly.
Listen, you're a bad guy if you wear khakis.
Whatever it is. Actually yeah. Not because I wear khakis. But
my point. Thank you.
There's a difference between I'm the bad guy because I'm doing what other people have done and you just elected me as the face of that thing versus I'm the bad guy because I'm out here ending guys' careers by playing recklessly out of control and not caring about other people. I will embrace a person who embraces being the bad guy and being the bad guy because they're just doing the thing. Versus, I'm the bad guy because I'm assaulting people, right? Like, there's a difference.
He's probably not going to get a bigger suspension because it's already been handed down because he's decided to do this. Now he is embracing the reputation that he has, which he had to a degree before this hit,
earned,
and definitely
not
does
has,
now.
Earned.
Okay,
let's be clear.
Earned. Again, I'm not. This isn't me condoning or anything. I understand. He's. I'm the bad guy. You guys have labeled me the bad guy. You don't accept my apology. So when I walk into your stadium, get ready because someone might get hurt. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but he's embracing
it. Oh, it's definitely
that.
Not a good thing. Let's be clear. So
what does the NFL do? Do they tell him to tone down his social media posts? Don't act like you're the Joker. Act like you're the bad guy.
Listen,
you should
on the phone.
Be remorseful because it looks bad for the Shield.
I'm on the phone with him today going, look, dude, next time you hurt somebody, even if it's unintentional, you have got an image and now you've created the image of the bad guy. If you create the image of the bad guy, which you're doing with this, then you get treated more harshly than other people who don't do that. That's fine if you want to do it. Just be aware there is zero leniency for you. And when you start, listen, buttholes come in all colors. Buttholes range the spectrum of people. And you're just being a butthole at this point. That's just all there is to it. So you're going to get treated that way. And if you embrace it, it's even more so. We'll talk more about this coming up later in the show. We got to run to a break because coming up in the next segment, the young man who knows more about the Carolina Panthers than everybody that's not me. Actually, maybe even more than me. We'll see. The host of the Panther Nation podcast.
He does know more than you.
I know he does. I'm trying to make myself feel better. The legendary Rashad Beard is up next to talk Panther football on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. On Thursday mornings at 8:40 a.m., we take a trip right up the road to Charlotte, North Carolina, to welcome in a young man who talks Carolina Panther football every, I'm going to say every single day. It's not every single, but it's pretty close to every, it's close enough.
How do you know? You don't know?
Because I follow the Panther Nation podcast on YouTube. That's how I know. And you should too, people, because if you do, you're going to get the remarkable insight and analysis of the next guest here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. My dog, Rashad Beard, is in the house. What up, fella?
What's going on, guys? Happy to be here once again. It's good times.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, it's got to be nice for you, Rashad, that the way you lost that game, at least to me, on the outside looking in, correct me if I'm wrong here, the way you lost that game this past Sunday to Tampa Bay had you saying, damn, that sucks. We should have won. We could have won. We blew it. As opposed to same old Panthers, which has been the war cry for a couple of years now. It felt to me, Rashad, like disappointment in the L was justified, not expected this time around. I know that one stung. I know that nobody more than Chuba Hubbard on that sideline for 30 minutes after the game sitting by himself. My heart broke for that young man. But that the end of that game felt like a shift to me, Rashad, because it wasn't another same old Panthers. It was a we should have had that in the bag. The expectations are now tangibly risen, in my opinion.
Yeah, did we blow it though? I feel like there, you know, a little robbery there with the touchdown, no touchdown call by the refs. You know what I mean? So we got to talk about that. I think there's so many aspects of this game to break down. Yes, you know, defensively we gave up a lot of yards on the ground. We left a couple points on the table with missed kicks. So you could definitely make the argument that we blew it. But yeah, we were in the game. And you know, it's unfortunate, but the energy, the vibes are definitely different. And it definitely is something that, it feels good. It definitely feels good that the Panthers are heading in the right direction. Good things are happening. And I agree with your point.
So to the Adam Thielen catch, we'll hit on that real quick. Don't want to spend a ton of time on it. Cause it's kind of one of these spots that like, it is what it is. Right. The problem you have, this is not a Carolina Panther problem in this moment. It's an NFL problem. To me, those kind of catches that are questionable in the end of the end zone, they should be called touchdowns, and it should be made to overrule them as opposed to being called incomplete pass and then overruled to be a touchdown. That's my first problem. My second problem is, and Bill Belichick agrees with me on this one, man, we ought to have 98 cameras pointed at every angle of the end zone. It should never be a question whether a ball is a catch or an incomplete, because we should have 100 cameras pointed down there. And the fact that the NFL doesn't is a complete failure of the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It definitely should have been ruled a touchdown. That was in my end zone where I sit, so I got a very good view of it. Definitely had control of the football. Should have been called the touchdown. There's a ref looking directly at the play. Definitely should have called it a touchdown, and then, you know, obviously had the evidence to overturn. He called it the opposite way. We couldn't find the evidence to call it a touchdown. So, and there's not enough camera angles, which is completely crazy to me. You've got all these cameras with the, you know, you got the one on the big strings in the air. You got all these different cameras. You got the pylon cams, and you got to tell me that you didn't have a camera to see whether he bobbled the football or not. It's just crazy to me. But you know, it is what it is. Not much you can do about it now. But definitely was a catch by Adam Thielen. It's not the first time we've been, you know, kind of robbed on this kind of catch. Koshary caught it as well.
What a shame, though. I mean, because it was an amazing catch. It was. And it would be on highlight reels for the NFL for this year. It was – I agree. I mean, how do you not have a camera? And the one angle, you see the ref bent down looking right at it. And how could he not see that?
It comes down to, Rashad, and then we'll go back to Carolina Panther football, I promise. It comes down to – The NFL cares more about making sure that they have as many great television angles as they do angles that actually could impact the football game. That's a secondary concern for them. An end zone cam, like maybe once a weekend, is going to come in useful for a television angle of that catch. And at the end of the day, that's all this is about.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's unfortunate. And again, I you look at the matchup, right? It's the Bucks Panthers, not the highest profile. So maybe we're not going to send, you know what I mean, our best batch of camera crew out there. You know what I mean? So I kind of get it. But at the same time, man, you got to treat all these games the same. And it definitely should have been a camera in that end zone to catch the catch.
Yeah, that's a Buffalo game. If that's Josh Allen throwing that pass, it's a caught for sure.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the L to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You had Bryce Young leading what we thought probably at the time was a game-winning touchdown drive inside the final 2 minutes. And, Judd, I think I tweeted it out. I think I tagged you in it at one point. I think a lot of people owe a lot of apologies to Bryce Young because that was the vibe of a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying we're elevating that man to Pro Bowl status yet. I'm not saying I'm throwing him up there with Allen and Mahomes and Jackson and all that yet, but I am saying that was as well orchestrated of a shoulda, coulda, woulda been a game-winning touchdown drive as we've seen a quarterback make anywhere in the league this season. I think my man Bryce Young flipped a lot of people's opinion on him in that game this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, after I complete my thought, I would like to hear Zoe's, opinion on Bryce Young, because you're kind of the biggest Bryce Young hater of them all, you know, in comparison to CJ Stroud and all that stuff. So I'd like to hear your opinion. But Bryce Young, as of right now, the past four games, I mean, he's basically right there in the top 10. If you eliminate what happened prior in the first two games prior to the benching, he's playing very, very good football. And all of us question the benching, right? We all questioned it. And obviously, Canales knew what he was doing. Everything he's done since then, since getting that starting position back, it's been great. It's been great. Canales has put the football in Bryce Young's hand in against very good defenses, right? So we're talking about the Chiefs defense. We're talking about the Bucks defense. These are really good defenses. So in the past, it was, man, he did it against these terrible defenses, and he's not. There's always an asterisk by his performance. But now he's starting to do it against really good defenses, and he's looking really good, using his legs. He's throwing the football. And honestly, look, he doesn't have his full complement of wide receivers. You got guys still out. Guys are banged up. You got guys dropping the football. Right? He's doing his part. He's doing all he can. He can't go out there and catch the football himself. So, again, Bryce Young is doing an excellent job. I like to see us finish in the red zone. I think that's not a problem, more of a Bryce Young problem. I think that's a play-calling issue with Canales. But Bryce is doing his job. I think he's doing an excellent job. Now, that being said, I think he does need to finish the season, right? We don't want to crown him as the guy right now, right? These last four games have been great. Let's finish the season out. But if he continues on this track, absolutely will be the franchise guy for the Carolina Panthers.
All right. I am willing to respond because I've been called out. No problem. First of all, I will say this. I still would have took CJ Stroud. Never going to change my opinion on that. Second of all, there's been defense of Bryce, even when he's been really bad by the person across from me, to the point where I just do not understand. Okay. Oh, no. Let me finish.
I haven't said a word.
Let me finish.
I'm just marking this moment in time for what I do.
Okay. So I do believe the benching was a good thing because he came. Listen, I've had those moments and I still have those. I am 56 years old and I had a moment like a couple weeks ago where I just did not understand something and finally something clicked and I got it and I'm like, man, I'm an idiot. Why didn't I see that? And I think Bryce Young, when he was sitting there, something clicked. And I think he finally got something. Is he where he needs to be yet? No, but he has definitely showed marked improvement. He is nowhere near the level or the heights that Rob Brown has put him on, but he definitely has looked really good the last couple of weeks. The pedestal that he's put him on, You can't see him up there. He's just so high. Maybe you can see his hand. He's just so high, and because of that, anything you say against that makes it look like, oh, you're saying he's the worst player in the world. I'm not saying that. I am so glad that he's doing better, because I want the Panthers to win. I do. They still haven't done that the last couple weeks, he has shown improvement.
Can I, Rashad? I want you to correct me when I tell a lie. Have I been saying that Bryce Young is good, or have I been saying that if you let the man have some talent in front of him and around him, that he can do it? Have I been saying that when you put him in the kitchen, the man can cook? They've just had him out on the back porch with the dogs the last
Rashad
year and a half.
Rashad just pointed out how he doesn't have his full complement, and now you're trying to act like he got better players in front of him, and he's using that receiver that you said was washed up and too old, who made one of the best catches in the NFL this year. So everything is against what you've been saying.
Rashad, is this team better this year than it was last year, talent-wise?
It certainly is better.
Thank you. Correct.
He's ignoring my points.
Rashad,
but that's
no, I'm not. I'm saying your points are dead wrong. Rashad, in the last year and a half, if I tried to argue that Bryce Young deserves a Pro Bowl nod or deserves to be put in the Hall of Fame or the Wall of Honor or any of that, or if I just simply said the Panther franchise has held back a young man that's got the talent, now you're starting to see it because they got guys in there to help him get there.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Thank you.
So you put him in a position, and look at him. You put him in a position where that's fine. You're wrong. I'm right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a normal thing.
One of us has been saying that it was a wrong pick and he's a bust, and the other said this dude's got 300 yards a game. Rashad Beard, in that game against Kansas City, he could have had 300 yards. In that game against the Giants, he could have had two more tutties on the board, but there's still been mistakes in both blocking and receiving the football. Am I telling lies, dog?
No lies. A lot of drops. Definitely should be more yardage. Should be more touchdowns, thanks to the refs. So, yeah, there's a lot left on the table for Brad.
All right, we spent too much time with our fight.
Did you just cut Rashad off? I feel like
no,
you just...
No, no.
What did you do? You cut Rashad off.
I did not.
All right, he's back.
He just froze a little bit. There we go. Now he's back. Right. We spent too much time with our little battle, which
I
won, that you need to spend some more time talking to Rashad while we have very little time left.
Chuba Hubbard. Has been the better Bryce has gotten, a lot of it's been directly correlated to Chuba Hubbard. I know a lot of people are going to beat him up, Rashad, because of that fumble in overtime, and I don't think anybody's going to beat Chuba Hubbard up worse than Chuba Hubbard beat up Chuba Hubbard after that game. Can we talk about how good this guy has been as the utility player and as the guy, the facilitator for the passing offense that Bryce has been thriving in?
Yeah, no, Chuba definitely, and again, the fumble happened. It the game was on the line there, but he's been very safe with the football. Very safe with the football, right? So this is not a thing where he's just turnover prone and he blew the game and he's been blowing the game for us. Chuba's been very solid. He's top six in rushing in the NFL right now. And that's with basically, I'll say it, limited opportunities. I mean, the opportunities have not been as many as the other guys in the top 10 are getting. You know what I mean? So he's been very good. Enter Jonathan Brooks. Some of those opportunities are going to be shared with him as well. But Chuba's been great, man. So I'm not going to be one of those guys to beat up Chuba. It does suck. It's unfortunate that he fumbled the football. I know he's going to beat himself up, but it is what it is, man. Salute to Chuba. I'm not going to kill him for that.
All right, one more with Rashad Beard, and then we got to let him go because he's got work to do, people. He's got stuff to make happen here. The last couple of games, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, a couple of back-to-back losses. You've talked about the fact, gave up rushing yardage, et cetera. It's one of those things that you look at, you go, golly, like if we were just a little bit better on the defense, but it's also one of those things, Rashad, it feels like a cop-out to say this, but I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's a reason. Carolina Panther defense fully healthy win those last two games. I stand on that.
Yeah, I think they'd be better. It's tough to put those situations, put myself in those shoulda, coulda, woulda situations, hypotheticals. But I think the defense has been playing well. I think that we got to get in some complimentary football here. Like it hasn't been good. We haven't scored in the red zone. We have opportunities where we settle for missed field goals, right? We settle for field goals, no good. So when the defense puts you in a situation where they're creating turnovers, right, because they had two interceptions in that game, they had four sacks. I personally feel like the defense did enough to win that game. I feel like the offense left a lot on the table. Special teams left a lot on the table. Nobody's going to talk about Hecker and his lackluster punts. Nobody's going to talk about Eddie Pinheiro, his missed field goals. We're 1-4 in the red zone. So there's a lot of opportunity on the other sides of the football that we didn't take advantage of. It's easy to beat up the defense, but I think we got to get in a situation where we have to talk about complimentary football. And I don't think we're there yet as a team. As we continue to get better, we're still missing Derrick Brown, still missing Shaq Thompson, still missing some pieces. So, yes, ideally, having those guys back, in theory, we would be better. But, you know, it is what it is. We got to play the hand we're dealt.
Oh, for sure. It is what it is. I'm not, again, like, the difference for me has always been excuses versus reasons. Excuses are when something within your control that you don't take advantage of prevents you from succeeding. Reasons are when something outside of your control prevents you from reaching the destination. Losing Brown and Shaq and all these cats, that's a reason. When you are down those players, you're a worse off defense. That's not a shot at anybody that's actively playing. That's just an objective reality of life. That's why those guys are starters. You get them back, we're probably looking at least one different result, maybe two. Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast, kind enough to join us every Thursday at 8:40 to talk Panther football. My man, appreciate you, big dog. Enjoy this week. We'll do it again next week, pal.
Absolutely. Big game in Philly coming up. I'll see you guys next week.
What you think about that one? Any chance?
It's gonna be tough. Tough game. Saquon might put up 200 on us. We'll see.
The good news is you'd be what, the fourth team? I mean, that dude's a man. He's a man. Rashad, talk to you next week, brother. Appreciate you. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday at 8:40. Y'all stick around. We got Hayden Asmario from the BetQL Network talking NFL storylines when we come back after Lonzo hits you with his sports flash.
Right in the nose. The college football transfer portal is open and a few major names have already entered. One of them is Oklahoma State quarterback Jackson Arnold, who will have two seasons of eligibility remaining at his next school. Arnold threw for 1,421 yards and 12 touchdowns with 63% completion percentage and rushed for 444 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Duke Blue Devils knocked off the Auburn Tigers.
Those Tigers
in a top 10 showdown at Cameron Indoor last night. Cooper Flagg led the Blue Devils with 22 points, 11 boards, and Isaiah Evans recorded 18 points off the bench. Tune in this Saturday at 11:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Princeton Tigers. It's Furman versus Princeton right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It's us. It's right here. It's the Fan Upstate. Tigers! Tigers!